ways. That's a great song, and y'all just nailed it. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I love the Bible. It's God's holy word. I make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I hide its words in my heart so that I might not sin against God. Hallelujah. If you keep this word inside of you, it'll keep you from sin. Sometimes people wonder, how do I stay out of sin, or how do I keep from sinning? Get the word of God on the inside of you. It'll make a difference in your life. And how many of you believe that God's word is true? Let me see your hand. You say, I believe God's word is true. Awesome. Most of you. Hallelujah. The rest of you are writing or something. If you want to succeed in anything, you have to have faith in God and in His word. And as Pastor Bob Nichols said this morning, make His word your word. That's when it really comes alive. And I've seen that to be true. And when he said that, something in my heart leaped too to say, that's so right. I know that's right. When his word becomes your word, that's the most powerful word in your life. Because the word won't do you any good if it's not mixed with faith and them that hear the word. And when his word becomes your word, then the faith gets involved for it to come alive and to come to pass in your life. So if you have any words from God that may seem dormant as seeds in your life, you know, there are seeds in the desert that are there and have been dormant there for thousands of years. And then somehow randomly a rain will come through that area. And as soon as that water hits those seeds, they see plants come up that they've never seen before, where those seeds were there the whole time and they were dormant. There are words that God has spoken to you that if you'll just get a hold of and believe God, your faith will cause that seed to come to life and to come to fruition in your life. And so a lot of you have already received a word from God, and tonight I believe you're going to make His word your word. And then watch what happens as you mix faith with the word that you've heard. So, Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I'd say without faith, it's impossible. But with faith, it is possible. And the only way you're going to please God is with faith. He that comes to God must believe. The title of the night is, I Believe God. I Believe God. And so, he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And God's rewards are the best rewards. And the only way you can know whether you truly believe that or not is ask myself, am I truly seeking God diligently? Because if I really believe He's a rewarder of those that do that, then I'll be seeking Him diligently. And it's important to do. If you're not, you may not believe that scripture like you should. If you believe God, this is what I want everyone to do. We're going to have a little bit of audience participation tonight, okay? If you believe God, I want you on the count of three, everyone to yell as loud as you can, I believe God. Are you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three.
I believe God.
Awesome. Praise God. So what we're going to do is I'm preaching tonight just to help you stay awake and stirred. I'm going to go like this. And when I go like this, I want you to say, amen. That's awesome. Woo! Praise God. So you got to pay attention. Hallelujah. Keep you on your toes. All right. So, first of all, nations have been saved because they believed God. In ancient Egypt, Genesis chapter 41, it's fascinating history. Pharaoh had two dreams. One dream he had was that a bunch of skinny cows came up out of the river and swallowed a bunch of fat cows. His second dream was that a bunch of skinny, withered grain came up and swallowed all the fat, lush grain that was growing. And he didn't know what to do. And there was a man named Joseph who could interpret dreams. And he came and he told Pharaoh the meaning of that dream. And he said, this means that you're going to have 7 years of awesome, plenty harvest, big harvest, more than enough. And then after that 7 years, you're going to have 7 years of lean famine that will swallow up those 7 years. And he said, what I would do if I were you, Pharaoh, is I would put somebody in charge to start stocking up and storing up for the seven fat years so that when the 7 lean years come, you'll be able to survive, you and this whole nation. And this is what I find fascinating, is how Pharaoh believed God. Because without having seen any of this come to pass yet, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you ruler over this entire nation. A Hebrew guy who is a prisoner. Talk about faith. Come on. Those of you that are in leadership know what a risk that would be. I'm going to take this guy, this ex-con that I just got out of prison, and put him in charge of the whole nation? Why would you do that? That makes no sense unless you just believed God. And you said, I believe that what you are telling me is true. And you see that that saved the entire nation. Not only the entire nation, but the entire known world. Because everybody came to Egypt because they had food when nobody else did. All because one man believed God, and it was Pharaoh. He wasn't even a Christian. He wasn't even born again. Praise God, I believe our president could have a dream where God speaks to him and tells him, this is what I want you to do. And he says, find me a Christian. Find me somebody who is a man of God, because only God can help me right now. God can do that, and he's done it throughout history with some of the most even evil people of the world, or even people that aren't even seeking after God. Or maybe they have false gods. God can still speak to them and change a nation. And God still speaks to people in dreams today. I'm not talking about false dreams where people make up things or try to manipulate, but like he did with Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, where God spoke to him in a dream. He said, you're a dead man. He said, whoa, that was a serious dream. I believe God. And he realized he had Abraham's wife in his harem. And he said, whoa, we need to change this. We didn't realize this is the God of all God speaking to me. Just like he did with Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. He had a dream that he couldn't understand. But Daniel could tell him the meaning of that dream. We also see with Pharaoh in Genesis 41. We see also like he did with Pilate's wife. Think about this. Pilate was not a Christian. He was not a man of God. Yet in Matthew 27, 19, it says that when Pilate was set down on the judgment seat, he's about to judge Jesus Christ, his wife sent unto him saying, have nothing to do with that just man Jesus, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And so God spoke to her in a dream. And she sent to him, said, don't mess with him. I'm telling you, judges, politicians, leaders of this nation, God can speak to them in a dream. And I'm telling you, if you're messing with God in this nation, you need to pay attention. And if you're messing with his church, you better pay attention. There may be people listening to this message right now in the government. And if you are, I would say pay attention to what God is telling you. Because it's important, and it could save your life. It could save your nation's life. Cities have been saved because they believed God. Jonah, he had a word from God for the people of Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, it said, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I love verse 5. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Isn't that amazing? This entire city, as huge as it was, they proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. And Nineveh, the whole city was spared because they believed God. I think that's awesome. You go in neighborhoods and sometimes you go through and you tell people, this is what the Bible says. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And people say, I'm not comfortable having this conversation. And they'll walk away. And they don't believe you. And it's so frustrating. I'm telling you, one of God's greatest desires is for people to believe His Word. And to believe what they're being told. And if we believe it, then we'll act on it. And if there's no greater joy than going and telling someone that. And then they're moved with tears. Or they start shaking under the presence of God. And say, I believe what you are telling me is true. What must I do to be saved? And then they just believe you. That's why it takes faith like a little child to come to Jesus. It takes faith like a little child to do anything that God has for us to do, because we have to believe it truly from our heart. But it can save an entire city. Come on, let's try that one more time. Amen. Families have been saved because they believed God. Not only nations, not only cities, but families have been saved because they believe God. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear." Not a fear of the devil, but a fear, a reverential fear and respect of God. And he moved. He did something. He put action behind what he believed. He truly believed what God said, that the earth is going to be destroyed with a flood. And he got to building an ark. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his family. We need to be moved by fear of God and of his word. That if it's important enough for God to say something to us, it's important enough for us to write it down and to act on it. That's why I tell you to make up your mind. Decide today that you're going to do something about the word that you've already heard from God. Not necessarily the word that I'm speaking to you right now, but that word in your heart that God's already spoken to you, you know you're supposed to do something about and you haven't done it yet. Or maybe there's a dream in your heart that God has spoken to you and said, you're going to do this, and you say, how shall this thing be, Lord? And you just put it on a shelf and haven't done anything about that. What have you done? And some people ask, Lord, I want to hear your voice. But maybe God's waiting for you to do what he already told you from what you heard before. And when you do that, then God can speak to you some more. And so it's important to do the last thing that God spoke. And it's what we do that we really believe. It's making God's word our word. We say that God is the number one priority in our lives, but do our lives really match up with that? Is he truly the center of it all, from beginning to the end? Do we really believe Jesus' return is close? And if so, are we preparing ourselves like a bride prepares herself for a wedding? You know how it is? As soon as a woman gets engaged, or if she knows I'm getting married, you watch, she goes on a diet. Because she wants to fit in that dress. And she wants to look as beautiful as she can for her wedding day. Because that's one of the most important times of her life. And I'm telling you, as soon as we get the revelation and the realization that Jesus is coming soon, we want to start preparing ourselves so that we can be that bride without spot or without wrinkle to be presented before Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. To say, we're about to be presented, y'all. Let's start preparing ourselves. We've got to realize the end is so close. Do we really believe that? If so, are we reaching out? Are we praying for the lost? Are we going out? Are we preaching the gospel by any and every means necessary? We must. Because there's very little time. And if you believe that, you'll give it all you've got and do what you can do. We don't know how long till Jesus comes back. We don't. But I believe it's close. And I believe that's why there is this extra urgent push to win the lost. And somebody says, well, you know, we can't live that way. You know, yes, we can. But first of all, it's not that long. It's kind of like Noah. He only had to build an ark until the flood. And then after that, he didn't have to build the ark anymore. You kind of have to make hay while the sun's shining. And there are times when you have to give a little extra effort and a little extra push. But when you realize this battle is about to be over, you'll fight with all you've got. To say we've got to do what we can while we can. Because the time is short. And the preaching the gospel is believing God's word, because God said to preach the gospel. And we believe it, so we do it. I have a friend, David Bush. He owns Hawaiian Falls Water Parks. And this guy, he's got, I think, 7 different locations, and each one probably $20 million plus. In fact, I know that. And I'm amazed at how this guy thinks as a business person. I think it's amazing how whenever they open their white settlement water park. I was there for the ribbon cutting ceremony. I'm sitting there with the mayor and city council there and others, business people, investors, all these people in the business world. I don't know if those of you really realize, if you're not in the business world, how the business world can be when it comes to things of God or Jesus, to where it's kind of like politics and religion. You don't talk about them. You don't even mention them. It's taboo in the world. But I saw this owner get up and he said to all these people, it wasn't to preachers, it wasn't to Christians, it was to the city council. He said, you know, we've got to pay the bills here. We've got to keep the lights on and we got to pay the bills. But other than that, he said, this is all about reaching the lost. And I said, what? I tapped the guy next to me who knows him even better than I do. And I said, did he just say what I thought he said? And he said, oh yeah, he's serious about that. Are you kidding? He's all about souls. That's his whole purpose. I said, wow, somebody that really believes this, that's in business? Amen, amen. And thank God for pastors and for ministers. We need to say this, but business people need to rise up and say, I truly believe that I'm going to be accountable for what I do with my business. And if there's any way that I can reach the lost or win souls with my business, I'm going to. They baptized in 1 year, they baptized actually over 2,000 people in their wave pools. Yeah, he told us, anytime you want to come, he told me, anytime you want to come, bring your people. If you want to have water baptism in our wave pool, you just come and water baptize there. I thought, that's pretty cool. You look around, there's scripture everywhere. In public, wow, in a public business. And people would say, you can't do that in business. You'll lose business. No, you'll save souls. You'll reach the lost. People will get born again. Their lives will be better, not worse. Do you think the Word of God and the Bible will make people's lives worse? It only does if they choose to reject it. But if they receive it, it's to the saving of their souls. And some of the things that this guy does makes no business sense unless he's thinking about his father's business. They open the meeting with public prayer. I think that's awesome. They gathered over 70 of their lifeguards, asked me to come minister to them. I was able to lead them in a prayer of salvation. They let me hand out Bibles to every one of those employees. They call them ambassadors. And give them some of Pastor Bob's little booklets. I was able to hand those out also. I think that's awesome. What a way to run a business. And I almost, as a minister, I'm thinking, is it okay to do this? Because our society has become so anti-Jesus that it's not right. And I'm telling you, think about it. We've kicked God out of the schools. We've kicked God out of the government. We've kicked God out of public places. We've kicked God even out of hospitals. I'll never forget the time I was there praying with John Costa there. And he had just had a stroke and he was there in ICU. And I went around and was able to lead 19 people to the Lord in the hospital before a security guard came and said, sir, we are a very diverse culture. And we don't want you to offend anyone, so we're going to have to ask you to leave. And I understand that. They're a very diverse culture. He said, what business do you have here? I said, I'm about my father's business. But I also have a man in ICU right now. I'm here to pray for. He said, well, he suggested I get back to ICU. So I said, okay, I'll do that. Again, I'm not gonna fight him over it. I'll just let the Lord handle it. And you know what? The Lord just settled the issue. And look at John. He's here today, totally, completely healed of a stroke. Praise God. A year later, still here. I just say praise God about that. Isn't that awesome, Troy? To think, here we are, we're run out of a place, but see the miracle that God does to say, hey, I'm validating this, that this is what I want done, and you can kick them out if you want to, but you're going to see miracles like you've never seen before in your life. You're going to see over 30 doctors and nurses in that hospital room saying, how can this thing happen? How is this even possible? It's God, and it's the preaching of the gospel. And you can reject it if you want to, but you're still going to see God, and you're going to see Him work, and you're going to see the miracles, just like they did in the New Testament. Like Pastor Bob was reading this morning, they got kicked out of one place, so they said, okay, we'll just go over here and do a miracle that nobody can deny. That nobody can deny. That nobody can deny. Hallelujah. He's a jolly good fellow. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, I just think it's awesome when I see people in business take a stand for God, or people in public. And I'm telling you, if you want the blessing of God on your life, put God first place, truly. And if you truly believe you're going to stand before Him soon, you'll be living life this way.
I believe God.
Come on. All right. Try one more time. Thank you. We're going to keep you up on your toes. You're going to be so full of belief. When you leave this place, you're going to do something about it. Hallelujah. So we see that nations have been saved because they believe God. Cities have been saved because they believe God. Families have been saved because they believe God. Men and women have been saved because they believe God. James 2:23, the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Hallelujah. He believed God. Hebrews 11:31, by faith, the harlot Rahab, she did not perish with those that believed not. Remember, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. All those people died. You realize the only person saved was Rahab and her family? Because she believed God. She said, I believe what you're telling me is going to take place, and I'm moving out of Jericho. I'm getting out of this one horse town. And she did, and she ended up marrying one of those spies, and it's so cool how God ended up using her in the lineage of Jesus later on. Hallelujah. Rahab. Praise God. So, I believe we are at another time in history where the entire nation's future depends on believing God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Because the majority may not believe, but the majority is not always right, as we have seen many times. And I believe Jesus is the hand of God to man that we need to grab a hold of by faith. And when I say I believe in God, I'm talking about I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and His hand extended to us, and His hand extended to God, and He's become the bridge by which we must reach God. The only way, because He's the only one who has the hold of the hand of God. And that we can grab a hold of this hand. And as He did, He spread His arms out and died on the cross. Amen. His hands were pierced for you and they were pierced for me. His hands were servant hands. And we grabbed a hold of Him and He's grabbed a hold of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to succeed in eternity, I'm not talking about just succeeding in this life. This life is like a vapor. It's like when you breathe in a cold day and you see your breath, just how brief that is, just for a moment, and it's gone. That's how our life is. I'm not going to live my life for that little breath of air. I'm not going to live my life for a little bubble that you blow in and it just pops. So brief. Just like a match that you light, how long is that? If your life is tied up in that and you think this is all there is, you're so disappointed and you're going to lose big time. But that light is just to match, that match is just to light the pilot and that eternal flame that God wants to burn called eternity. And what you do with this life now is what's going to determine how you live forever. And so it's so important, again, that we make hay while the sun is shining, because we're about to stand before Jesus and be accountable before God. So we want to be successful in eternity. And if we do that, we have to hold on to faith in God and let Him hold on to us. Psalm 73:23 says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. I love that song that Pastor Bob Nichols sings all the time. He will never let go my hand. He will never let go my hand. Though the storms they may come, and the winds they may blow, He will never let go my hand. I love to hear him tell that story, how the people in Uganda got a hold of that and how they were walking away from that meeting, singing that song, He'll never let go of my hand. And you could see they got a hold of it. They believed God. They believed the word that God spoke through Lighthouse Television. And it has changed that entire nation. We're seeing Book of Acts in our day, in our lifetime, and we are a part of it. Calvary Cathedral International. Isn't that awesome to say an entire nation believed God? We got to realize God will never let go of your hand. Don't let go of His. Psalm 16:8 says, I've set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. There's nothing more secure than the right hand of God. Nothing more secure than the right hand of God. All right, one more time.
I believe God.
I know I shouldn't say a one-liner and then do that because you're writing and not looking. I'll learn. Hallelujah. There's nothing more secure than the right hand of God. I think about my dad. My earthly father was such a great example to me in many ways of my heavenly father. I remember one time being a little kid swimming at the Brazos River. I enjoy that river so much. It's a blessing from the Lord. Grew up on that river. And I remember Dad, he used to fish, and he would wade out into the water. And one time in particular, that water had come up. We had had a big rain, and the water had come up and was swelling. You know how the Brazos can get sometimes when it's overflowing its banks or when it's running rapid. And so Dad was out there fishing, and a lot of times that's when the catfish like to come out, you know. So Dad's just enjoying himself, and he brought me and he brought a friend of mine. And we're sitting over here in the shallow part. And I remember Dad said, don't get out here in the deep part. And I said, yes, sir. But I got careless and was starting to just kind of play with my friend John. And as we got out a little closer, I was getting deeper and deeper to the water where it was going up and up. And I didn't even pay attention because I was so distracted with my friend John and playing that all of a sudden I realized I was starting to be swept away. Again, times in life, we need to make sure that Jesus is the center of it all, because the busyness of life has a way of just sweeping you and sucking you into it without you even realizing. Very subtle. It's very slow. It's a gradual thing. And so here all of a sudden I realize I'm moving away from John. And I tried to dig my toes in to catch some traction, and my toes, I'll never forget that feeling of them just going across the sand and the rocks, and I can't stop myself, and I'm starting to be swept out into the current. And I'm looking at John like, oh! And he's looking at me like, I ain't coming to save you. And so I'm being swept away, and here's Dad over here fishing. And I'll never forget the feeling of total helplessness. I am being swept away. And uncontrolled. And you know how the Brazos too has ways sometimes of pulling people under, you know? It'll swirl and you get in a whirlpool and it'll just kind of dunk you under for a second. And it's serious. So here I was being swept away, and I'll never forget looking over at my dad, and here I am going, Dad! And the look on his face as he's sitting here fishing and he sees this kid go, Dad! And my hand was outstretched, and it was so cool. I'll never forget how he was fishing with one hand, but he saw me and his eyes got real big, like, there goes my kid. And he whoosh, 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 I mean, through the water, like, he just didn't faze him at all. I mean, I was probably like 20 pounds at the time. I still am, but anyway. So he just whoosh, 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 whoosh. And I'll never forget, the second he grabbed my hand, it was like, everything's okay. Because as I'm reaching out, he grabs my hand, and it was like grabbing onto a rock. I mean, I was like skipping on the water. And he's like, and you know how it's when your adrenaline's pumping, and you're thinking, I'm just saving my kid's life here. You're just like supernatural strength or something, but he just grabbed me and pulls me over onto the shallow part again. And I was like, I just almost died. But I'll never forget that hand. I'm telling you, he will never let go of your hand. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm telling you, if he'll do that for the world, how much more will he do that for you, his child, who he loves and who he sent his son to die for, so that you could be his child? Don't you think he'll do whatever it takes to make sure you're safe?
Yes, he will.
And especially if you call on him, don't you think he'll do whatever it takes to get you what you need? If you ask him for an egg, will he give you a scorpion? No. If you ask him for a fish, will he give you a snake? No. If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, and if you know how to save your kid who's in trouble, don't you think God knows how to save us? And so I believe God. And I don't just believe his word, but I believe his love for me. I believe God loves me with an everlasting love, so much that he will do whatever it takes to make sure I'm taken care of. And there may be times in life when we think God has forgotten, or that God is not paying attention, or God's just going to let me go through this. No, God's going to help you. He just may not do it the way you think. But keep calling out to him and reach out to him with your hand and grab a hold of him and let him grab a hold of you. And I'm telling you, it's going to work out all right. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the anchor of our souls. Hebrews 6:18. You know, grabbing a hold of Dad's hand was like grabbing a hold of an anchor. I mean, he was solid in that water. Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Isn't that cool? You can believe God's word because it's impossible for him to lie. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set for us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We got to get an unshakable word from God. That unshakable word. Blessed is the man. Psalms chapter 1, one of my favorite chapters next to Psalm 91. And we're about to wrap up here. We're going to spend just a moment here in prayer. We're going to pray some things through. Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. Those trees have roots that go down so deep. The Bible says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He makes it sure and steadfast, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm telling you, we get a hold of a word from God, and that word will get a hold of us. We get so wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus that he can see us through any storm. I want us all to stand right now, and I just want you to think in your heart as I've been preaching, what word has God given you? What has he told you that's going to come to pass that you might have doubted? Or that you may have wondered, said, is this really true? I believe God. I believe God, it shall be according as it has been spoken to me, according to your word. I believe. And if I grab a hold of the hand of God and the word of God tonight, I believe I'll see the promise that he's spoken to me, just as these people did. Every one of these people that believed God were saved, were delivered. God saw them through. And I'm telling you, God, if he did it for them, he's no respecter of persons. He'll do it for you. And there may be things in your life, dreams or thoughts or ideas that have seemed to die. And it seems like there's no way that can come to pass. Let me tell you, it only won't come to pass if you let go of it. But you've got to be stubborn. Sometimes stubbornness is a good thing if it's used in the right way. And I've known some people that were so stubborn, and you just think, why are you so stubborn? But if they get a hold of a word from God, man, that's the best thing you can be. If you're going to be stubborn against the devil. Amen? If you're going to be rebellious, I know some young people, they have a rebellious streak. Have you ever heard of it? Well, he just got a rebellious streak. He just won't do anything you say. Well, turn that against the devil. If you can get young people to be rebellious against the devil and say, no, I'm not going to celebrate with you, devil. I'm not going to go do what you want me to do. Forget it. It can be a blessing. That rebellion in the right way against the devil and against the world can be a blessing in your life. But you got to aim that. And so you get an unshakable word from God and you get that bulldog grip on it and you say, God, I am not letting go of the promise that you gave to me. I believe it shall be as you have spoken to me. And watch what God does. Again, it may not be the way you thought. A lot of times because people's wills are involved. And God will not overcome someone else's will for you or even for himself. If he did, the Bible said he's not willing that any should perish. If God did that, he would just save everybody. But if he did that, we would no longer have a choice and it would not be freedom. It would be communism or a dictatorship to where you had to do what you were told. But praise God, I don't have to serve God. I get to serve God. And it's of my own choice. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will. I'm making a choice tonight. So I want you to just close your eyes right now and just think about what God has spoken to you. A dream or a vision or a thought. It's time to act on it. It's time to do something. You need to, I've heard it said before that the opportunity of a lifetime must be received in the lifetime of the opportunity. And there is a time frame that we're involved with here. And if God's given you an idea, hold on to it. Act on it. Do something about it. I heard of this guy. He had an idea for a deer blind. As he was out hunting one day, he's sitting there in the blind. He had paid to go hunt somewhere. He had 3 days left on his hunt with his dad. And those are expensive. Those of you that hunt know what I'm talking about. At a ranch down in South Texas. 3 days left. He still had tags left to get a big trophy buck. And he had an idea for a blind that God gave him. He said, God gave me this blind. He called the rancher, said, come get me. He said, what are you talking about? He said, come get me now. He said, okay. Came and got him, took him out of his blind. He called his dad, said, Dad, come on, we're leaving. They lived in California. They left, 3 days left of hunting and their tags left to get. And their dad said, what's going on? He said, I'll tell you later. Come on, we're going. They get in the truck. They fly all the way back home. He goes straight to his garage and starts getting to work, building this blind that God gave him an idea. They're called nature blinds, and they're these deer blinds that look like trees. And he said God gave him the idea, and on these deer blinds that he manufactures now, it has Isaiah 61:1 where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. And it said that we might be trees of righteousness. Hallelujah. To glorify God. And God gave him that idea, but he moved on it. Now, it was 4 years later that became fruitful. But he acted on it right then and started getting to work on it. And if God's given you a dream or something in your heart, I want to encourage you tonight, do something about it tonight. Go home, get to work on it. If you need to write it down, whatever it is, do something toward it. Just start. It's a good principle. Whatever you need to do, you may not need to stay up all night working on it. Or if God's given you a word, you might need to stay up all night working on it. If God's given you a word, don't waste any time. But believe God that what he said will come to pass, shall come to pass. Later on, this man showed up 4 years later in his garage, and it was down to the wire. Sometimes your dreams look like it's going to be over if I don't do something quick. And he got on his knees in the middle of his garage. The business was going nowhere. And he said, God, you've got 24 hours to do something or it's over. My dream is over. And he said he hated to put a time like that on God, but he said he was desperate. He said that day a man showed up and wrote him a check and said, I believe this idea will work. Here's a check to start nationally producing these things. He has a 50,000 square foot production facility, and they're nationwide and go all over, and it's been successful. And the guy's telling this story in tears because he said that guy was like an angel to him, and God gave him that idea. Again, even if it seems dead, trust that, hey, God's got a way to bring your dream to pass. I want us just to pray just for a moment as we sing. I want us to sing, I Believe God. Hallelujah.
Yes, I believe God. His word is true. I believe God. What He said He will do. I believe. To believe, I believe God. Yes, I believe God. His word is true. I believe God. What He said He will do.
You, we are here to support you and to help facilitate whatever it is that God's called you to do. That's part of what we're here for as staff and as Pastor Bob Nichols, your pastor. It's for the facilitating for the work of the ministry. And whatever God's given you, that idea, that dream or whatever, let us know about it. We'll pray with you about it. We believe God will help it come to pass. We might be able to be a connection point for you. But if you need anything, come see us. Let us know what it is. And let us help you. And we'll keep that in prayer. We believe God's going to do big things in you. And you shall have what God says you can have. Amen? Amen. Don't forget, Monday night, 6 o'clock, we're going soul winning in the neighborhood. You're going to have an opportunity to preach the gospel. And whether people believe it or not, our job is to speak it. Amen. So we're going to do that Monday night. And then Tuesday, all day Tuesday or Thursday. David, what's the latest they could come on Tuesday or Thursday to help set up things at the 10? 10 to 5. 10 to 5, Tuesday and Thursday. Anyone can do this. We've already got the tent set up. David worked so hard. Him and a few guys were out there last Thursday and worked so hard on that. And we just commend you, David, for all you've done already. And what you're continuing to do. He's worked hard, y'all. We need to help. If you can come help with chairs, with whatever, it's real simple. Even children and women could do this. If you want to do that, praise God. So come on out Thursdays or Friday, this Thursday or Friday from 10 to 5. And then we'll see you there. God bless y'all. Have a great night.